Thank you, Kelton. Good morning, church family. It's great to be together on this beautiful homecoming weekend, and a special welcome to our guests and visitors. You know that feeling you get, say on a Monday, when you've been at work or school most of the day? That feeling you get when you finally get home to be with family. Isn't it such a great feeling to be with those whom you love? Well, we should have that feeling each and every Lord's Day and each and every midweek service that we get together with our family of believers. Amen, church? And even more so, we should understand that we have an identity as citizens of the kingdom of God, that we have heaven, that we are kingdom citizens, that we know we have eternity forever together. And there's not a greater feeling than that. Amen, church? So welcome to Homecoming Lesson 2021. As Ron read earlier, our citizenship is in heaven. And Paul reminds us of this throughout his letters to the churches, that our citizenship belongs in heaven. The big question is, if we are citizens of the kingdom of God, what identifies us as those people homeward bound? Here's a picture from the Florida-Alabama game just a few weeks ago, obviously a big game. But what was bigger than that is before the game, some of the Florida players and some of the Alabama players gathered in the end zone for prayer, as if to say, yeah, this is a big game, but there's something bigger in our lives, in Trey's life, and in those that want to honor God first and foremost. We have dual citizenship, but it's so important to define what a citizen is. A citizen is someone who is born into or naturalized as a member of a nation to whom they owe allegiance and is entitled to its protection. Citizenship is the privilege of belonging with its benefits. Maybe you belong to a gym and you have benefits with that gymnasium you belong to. Maybe you have a rewards card in your pocket and you have certain benefits when you go buy gas and other items. And it's so great to know that we have the greatest reward of all waiting for us in heaven, that we have citizenship with him forever together. Identifying citizenship. Some of the ways we identify citizens of various kingdoms or countries is this: what food they eat, what clothing they wear, what their cultural practices might be, for instance, how they marry, and what language they speak. This is a picture of my family at the beach a couple weeks ago. This is not how you dress to go to the beach, but this is how we dressed in the context of doing a beach wedding for Austin and Angelina there in the back. It was awesome to do Carl Horton's son wedding back a few weeks ago. This wonderful outdoor small beach wedding. And funny side note, Mackenzie had been given costume jewelry by her Aunt Allie to wear to this wedding. And she was so excited to wear it. Then I noticed she wasn't wearing it during the wedding. And after the wedding was over, I was like, Mackenzie, why didn't you wear that costume jewelry? You were so excited about getting to wear it. And she goes, you know what, Daddy? I thought about it, and this is the bride's day. I don't want to take any attention away from the bride. What a beautiful statement from my 7-year-old. We support a great work in Zambia, great mission work there, a milk fund to take care of babies in need. And this is a picture of what a Zambian wedding looks like. I have friends that are missionaries in India, and this is what an Indian wedding looks like. And then last weekend, the Bryants and I, and a few of us, I got to be there to support and to do the wedding for Omar and Jessica Vences, two of our Gators for Christ alumni. Weddings look differently depending on where you're at. When we're in Honduras, what people wear there, it's a little bit different. And it often is defined by a lack of clothing. I remember a few years ago going on one of the trips, and a young man was wearing a Seminole shirt with holes in it. And I looked at him and said, we got to do better than this. And so I asked through a translator, is that the only shirt you have, or do you have others? And unfortunately, that was the only shirt that young man had. So I had a few extra shirts with me in my backpack, because I sweat a lot. These new shirts I gave to him. They were a bit big, but the next year I was determined to do something different. So our mission team was donated a lot of Gator shirts from the Gator Sports Shop here in town, and we gave those Gator shirts out to the many kids there in Honduras, and it was a beautiful thing to see that, and awesome to see the also teach them the Gator Chomp. Last week, we had a luncheon for our international community. Food looks a little bit differently in different countries. We had 5 countries represented at our international lunch that our English partners hosted last Sunday after church. I tried all 5. They were delicious. And all 5 of those foods represented those countries where our international students reside from. When it comes to our dual citizenship as Christians, we are citizens of the good old U.S. of A. But we have responsibilities to our nation, yes, but always first to Jesus Christ. Let's talk about now our spiritual clothing. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care. Clothe yourselves with humility. When I shared this lesson concept with Mark Jameson before he left for his trip to D.C., he said, I love the concept for your lesson. And let the congregation know when you talk about humility, the 3 greatest things you can clothe yourself with is humility. Humility is talked a lot about in the New Testament. And Mark knows as well as I do, the greatest thing standing in the way of humility is pride, our own selfishness. As an example of that, maybe we forgive somebody once. Maybe if they wrong us again, we forgive them twice. But it's sure hard to forgive them that 3rd time. And then we read the words of Jesus. What does Jesus say? Forgive 7 times? No. He says to forgive 70 times 7. And so that his disciples wouldn't get hung up on a number, he even goes further than that in saying, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. As we read on about spiritual clothing, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Do we have the same mercy on others that God has in our own lives? Kindness, humility there again, gentleness, and patience. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Without love, without God's perfect love, it all falls apart. With it, it's all bound together, these fruits of the Spirit. Also, spiritual clothing, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, we are immediately clothed with Christ upon baptism. However, we need to remain purposeful in being clothed with Christ when we get up and pray for the day and pray for Jesus Christ to be in our lives throughout that day, especially if we're facing a hard assignment or a hard task. Knowing that God is first, then it's a whole lot more difficult for the desires of the flesh to creep in when we're purposeful about clothing ourselves in Christ and realizing those are the characteristics we need each and every day of our lives. Also, for all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Rebecca Dene, she was our last baptism here just a couple of weeks ago. The Caulfield studied with her, shared with her, met her at the gym. And let me tell you, she's been on fire ever since. Such a beautiful thing to see Rebecca in the last couple of weeks since being baptized do a wheelchair ramp service project with our campus ministry and also be an encouragement to so many others. As we're an encouragement to her, she's been an encouragement to us. And that is a beautiful thing to know that we are clothed with Christ immediately. We are kingdom citizens immediately when we give our lives to him. Spiritual food, let's talk about food for a moment. I love food. But let's talk about what we should be most in love with, spiritual food. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is within the context of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, and he had just shared spiritual food and spiritual water with a woman who so desperately needed it. She was seeking the physical. Jesus gave her the spiritual. And what do we find happens after this passage later on in verses 35, 36, 37, 38? We find that the Samaritan woman is so on fire about Jesus not only telling her everything she did, which a lot of people wouldn't necessarily be on fire about, but also realizing that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And she goes and tells the Samaritans, a lot of Samaritan people, about him. And what happens? They believe in him. They come to a belief in him because now she's spiritually fed and immediately able to go feed others. Also, when it comes to our food, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. This, of course, in the context of the temptation of Jesus. When Satan says, Jesus, you are hungry. Go, take these rocks, turn them into food. Jesus is like, no, you don't get it, Satan. My will, God's will, is to live on his bread, to seek every word that comes from his mouth. This picture, this is a scientific model of laminin. Laminin is the molecular protein that holds all of our organs and tissues together. Without laminin, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble. With laminin, we are physically held together. And the most fascinating thing about laminin is it is in the shape of a cross. We serve a God through Christ Jesus that not only holds us together physically, but holds us together spiritually as well. So every word that comes from his mouth, that's what we need to put into practice. Amen, church? And let's talk about our spiritual language for a moment. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. This is Pat Tillman back in 2001 in his Army Ranger training. Prior to that, Pat Tillman was a linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals and a pretty good one at that. He got to be the defensive captain for the Arizona Cardinals in his fourth year playing for them. But then the Twin Towers fell in September of 2001. And something Pat Tillman always said was he wanted to serve this country if our freedom was under duress. So he quit that lucrative NFL career, went into Army Ranger training, and served in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2004 until friendly fire ended his life, unfortunately. Pat Tillman, as a Christian man, became a living sacrifice, literally, for this country and protecting our freedoms. We as Christians are called to love in a sacrificial way, to be a living sacrifice to each other and to others in this world. Also, when it comes to spiritual language, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I saw this passage of scripture on somebody's computer recently, and when you take a passage of scripture and put it on your computer, it's sure much more difficult, and I've seen this on Marilyn's computer. Since I work here at the building, I've seen several of you come in with your laptops, your what other devices you may have, your pads, and it's so cool to see scriptures post-it noted to those devices, because if you're on social media or on Netflix or whatever, it's sure much more difficult to let unwholesome things come out when you have scripture right there at your fingertip. We need to remember that we are ambassadors. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. For those of you that went to Gator Walk yesterday before the football game, 3 hours before the game, you'll always find the Gator buses pull up there on University Avenue. And who appears? Football players, coaches, support staff. We know those are the ambassadors to Gator football. And that's what Gator Nation expects, and who they expect to appear out of those buses as they walk from the bus to the locker room. When we leave this building, what does the world expect? What can the world expect to see when we walk out from here into the world? Hopefully, citizens of the kingdom of God and those things that identify us, those things that we clothe ourselves with, the language, and who we are as people, so that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can be salt and light to others. We have dual citizenship. We are simply sojourners and pilgrims making our way through this world. This is the best quote I heard this past week. If you are a Christian, you are not a citizen of this world trying to get to heaven. You are a citizen of heaven, making your way through this world. Amen, church? We are kingdom citizens making our way through this world. And it's so important that the world see us as such, to be physical examples and to be verbal examples to those around us. Let's talk about our physical citizenship for just a moment. Be a good citizen. Jesus tells us to render to Caesar's what is Caesar's, even if you don't like the tax bracket you're in. Even if you don't want to necessarily, that is what we're called to do. And we need to be subject to rulers and authorities so that we can exemplify Christ-like attitude. Now, of course, the addendum to that is if we're called to do something that is outside of what God tells us to do biblically. But otherwise, we need to be subject to those and respectful so that we can make a difference in this world, even if they are corrupt. Because in Jesus' time, was Caesar corrupt? Yeah, pretty much. Are there corrupt leaders today? Absolutely there are. But we're called to Christ first and to be subject in a respectful way to those leading. Pray for those leading, even if it's a different political party than you. We can complain, we can bicker, we can say all we want, but that doesn't help anybody, especially those around us, find Christ. And in particular, and this is something Mark mentioned a month and a half ago, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for those that are leading our country. That way we may please God, lead holy lives, and help save others by the truth shared in love. Our spiritual citizenship. James 1:25 says this, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So, here in summary, we need to live, change lives as kingdom citizens and realize who we are every single day, to put on the new self, to be purposeful in that. We've been given God's Holy Spirit as a guide each and every day as baptized believers. We need to be examples, as it says in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. I do a lot of walking. My dad comes and visits our house about every 2 weeks or so, and we like to walk together. And it's been cool because we've met other people walking. Even at 10 o'clock at night when you're like, I don't know if we should talk. You know, it's kind of late, maybe a little sketchy. There's not a street light. But we've been talking to our neighbors, even if they live in a different section of the neighborhood that I've not gotten to know yet. And it's been neat because I'm 2 for 2 on church invites so far in talking to those around us. We can say nothing, when the opportunity presents us, or we can say something. And there's been times when I've said nothing. And there's been times when I've said something, and I'm so glad I did, because my neighbor came to church this past Wednesday with me. And finally, support others in kingdom work. Gary Wider has served as a prison minister for over 40 years now, 39 years in Lake Butler and a couple of years in Nashville. Such a great work that he does. Now, we have so many great ministries here at University City that it's hard to feel like we can support all of them as far as individuals crossing over. But it's so important that we encourage everybody in their ministry. It was a blessing to go to the prison ministry, go by before the dinner. I had some things to do during the dinner, but to go by for a few minutes before the dinner and as the dinner was starting, and to encourage Gary and say, thank you so much for your years of service. We all have our lanes of ministry that we serve here at University City, but it's so important that we cross over those lanes and encourage others in the great works that are happening. It says in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Because God knows that if we get it right in here, then we'll be able to get it right out there. Amen, church? So here's the challenge. Promote the kingdom. 2 Timothy 2:4 tells us to preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. There's two seasons in Gainesville, Florida. There's football season, and there's spring practice, getting ready for football season, right? Well, there are seasons of life in our lives, and regardless of the season you're in, whatever season that is, Scripture tells us to be prepared and to preach the word all the time. That's not just Mark's job. That's not just my job. That's not just our elders or a deacon's job. That is all of our jobs, to preach and to share the message of Christ with others. Verbally share the truth. Sometimes we wait and we're just like, well, they'll see my example. It's true. We need to be good examples, we talked about earlier, but we need to be verbal as well. Whether we're introvert or an extrovert, whatever, be verbal and share the love of God with others. Pour into others' lives. Be a part of their life in sharing our spiritual citizenship. So the challenge this morning, I leave you with this question. What does your kingdom citizenship mean to you? If you need the prayers of the church, or you'd like to come forward now for the very first time and become a kingdom citizen through baptism, you have that opportunity now as we stand and as we sing.